Senate Education Committee, please come to order. This is Monday, March 24th, 2014. It's 8:02 a.m. In attendance, myself, Senator Stevens, chairing, Vice Chair Senator Dunleavy, Senate President Huggins, Senator Gardner, and Senator Stepin. We have a full House, quorum to do business. Today we'll begin with confirmation of hearings for appointment to the Alaska Professional Teaching Practices Commission. I believe we have two folks here, and then following that we'll take up Senate Bill 208 relating to school construction debt. So let's move right ahead with the Professional Teaching Practices Commission and Maureen Van Wagner from Anchorage. Maureen, thank you for being with us. Please come forward. Thank you, Maureen. And would you identify yourself for the record?
I will.
When you get settled there.
I get this chair off.
Sure.
Okay. My name is Maureen Van Wagner, and I live in Anchorage, Alaska.
Thank you, Maureen. Any comments you would have?
Let me repeat that. Sorry.
Maureen. Oh, okay. Just once more for the record.
One more time. My name is Maureen Van Wagner, and I live in Anchorage, Alaska.
Thank you. Any opening statement you may have?
Yeah, I was born and raised in New Jersey. Spent 32 years there, and I moved to Anchorage, Alaska 9 years ago, where I've been teaching special education at East High for the last 9 years, and I work with emotionally and behaviorally disturbed kids, so I'm busy all day long, and I'm currently a mentor and an instructional coach support in our district, and I'm really excited to be a part of the PTPC. I don't think it's something you wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be on the PTPC because of the work you do. I think it's a privilege, and I think it's an honor. And I know that what's going to be before me is looking at individuals and things they have done that could possibly take away their teaching certificate and their livelihood. And I don't take that lightly. I think I bring 18 years of teaching special education to the table, and I feel like I can be pretty fair and balanced, if that's possible, when looking at a person and looking at what's happened and making decisions that are going to ultimately affect the students in my classroom.
So. Well, thank you, Maureen. So tell us, what does it require to be a member of the PTCP in terms of time and energy and issues? Do you have any reflections?
Since this is my first time being on the PTPC, and I had my training with the director, Jim Seitz, about a month and a half ago, that morning training, I think to me it requires patience. I think it's going to require me, as far as time, at this point, I mean, we meet quarterly, that I'm aware of. You know, like I said, I'm still learning the process, and I think it's going to require me to come to any decision without making any judgment calls, without being predisposed, trying to be take the lenses off, if that makes sense. I think it's going to require me to have a high level of confidentiality. Anchorage might be a big state, but it's small, and things happen, and so I think it's going to be important that I conduct myself in a manner that is professional, which I've done my entire 18 years of teaching. So, hope that answers that
question. It does. Thank you, Maureen. Any questions, Maureen? Senator Gardner.
Thank you. There are bills that have been introduced in the legislature that deal with restraint of students. I think it's kind of going to be in your area, particularly applying to students who are students with disabilities and such. Do you have an opinion? Are you aware of those bills? Have you looked at them?
I'm aware of the bills, and I'm aware of what's currently going on in Anchorage itself. In the high school level, we don't deal with restraints. I have students that are as tall as you, Senator Dunleavy, so I don't deal with restraints. However, if I go back 18 years when I was working with autistic children and I was working with cognitively impaired children, that is something that I was trained to do, and I was trained very well, but never had to use. And I was thankful that I never had to use that. I pride myself in good classroom management. But at the same time, I think there are times I've watched it happen. I've watched restraints being used, and not here in Alaska, but in New Jersey, done very well for the safety of the other kids. So I don't know exactly what all the bills look like, but what I can tell you is that when they're little kids and they're out of control, the first safety is the other kids in the classroom. Got to get them out of the classroom. Got to make it safe for that environment. And as a teacher, it's nerve-wracking thinking that you might have to employ those strategies. But I know that I was trained very well to do that when I was in New Jersey, and I've had crisis prevention intervention training here in Alaska. I haven't had to use it, but I think the training was well, and if done properly, can be effective. So I'm not sure if there's any other questions you have or concerns.
Thank you. I guess on that issue, I'm not sure what to think. It seems like with 18 years of experience, you've never had to use it. Maybe it's not an essential tool.
It might not be. I haven't had to use it. I honestly, if you look at my resume, I've been mostly in resource classrooms. The only time I was in a self-contained classroom was when I taught at the Special Children's School in Sparta, New Jersey. I had four children with Down syndrome, and the other classroom I was in was during my student teaching experience, where I worked with autistic kids, and I was not the teacher of record. So that would not have been appropriate for me to do anything like that. I think numbers play a huge part when it comes to the behaviors that are going on in a classroom. I look at my classroom right now. I work with emotionally and behaviorally disturbed kids. I have anywhere from 5 to 6, depending on the day, depending on the year, because as the year goes on, different things happen. Kids get moved. Transitions happen. And I think if I were to translate that group of kids into a younger age, there could be a lot of problems. And if there's not the support, a good trained teaching assistant or paraprofessional, depending on the district, problems can happen. So I think I don't want to say anything that's inappropriate, but I think there could be times that that would be needed depending on the situation. And again, I haven't had to use that type of, because I haven't been, most of my teaching has been in the resource room, not in a self-contained classroom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen.
You're welcome.
Other questions?
Thank you, through the chair. Why do you want to be on the commission?
That's a good question. I kind of sort of answered that before, I think. I feel that, sorry, thank you. That with my 18 years of teaching experience, my last 5 years I've been a mentor in the Anchorage School District as well as an instructional coach support. And working with new teachers and working with teachers that have been put on a plan of support or a plan of improvement, I take as a privilege. I was speaking with one of my colleagues this morning, and we were talking about how much you learn when you're a mentor and how much you learn when you're an instructional support coach. And for me, I think it's another learning process. To be on the Professional Teaching Practices Commission is going to give me an opportunity to work with colleagues that are, by their own right, esteemed in their profession, and giving me an opportunity to, I feel, give a fair and honest judgment of what's happening with certificates, whether it's reprimanding, whether it's revocation, whether it's suspension. Again, like I said, it's not like you wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to go and take away someone's teaching certificate, and that's not why I want to be on the commission. I want to be on it because I want to work with a group of people that are all wanting to do what's best for students in the classroom, and I feel like that's what I can bring to the table.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Maureen. Further questions? Thanks so much, Maureen, for your years of service. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Ask David Piazza to come up, please. Good to see you, David. David is from Dillingham. Go ahead and sit down, David, but is there any public testimony? I neglected to do that. Any public testimony to Maureen's? Okay. Thank you so much. David, if you'd identify yourself for the record, please.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Dave Piazza. I'm the superintendent of the Southwest Region School District, and that is based out of Dillingham. Chair Stevens and members of the Senate Education Committee, it's my pleasure to be here for this confirmation hearing for the appointment to the Professional Teaching Practices Commission, and that would be for the superintendent's representative. I was raised in Washington State. I arrived as a teacher fresh out of college, and that was working for the Bering Strait School District. My wife and I raised two children in Unalakleet and in Dillingham. I look forward to bringing my experience of 29 years of service in Alaska public education to this new responsibility. Teachers and administrators are role models as they provide instruction and guidance to the next generation. I'm interested in the work of the PTPC that focuses on prevention, so that educators understand their responsibilities. The PTPC, as we've heard already, is important as it serves as an avenue for accused individuals to receive a fair and impartial hearing or review before career-impacting sanctions are imposed. I believe that I can listen to and consider the facts that are presented and work with the other members to ensure that the integrity of our profession is maintained at the highest level. I'd like to thank Governor Parnell for the appointment and your support, and I look forward to serving in this new capacity. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Can you help us understand how many cases, do you have any idea how many cases are decided against the teacher? Do you have any reflection on that? Do you know?
I don't know that I have an accurate count, but in our past meeting, I believe there were nine cases. And just following the review of the director, I believe those were all upheld.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So those would be considered sanctions or reprimands or revocations.
And it meets quarterly.
It meets quarterly for 1 or 2 days,
mm-hmm.
And that's in Anchorage.
Right, right. Okay, thank you so much, Dave. Questions for Dave? Good to see you, Dave. I appreciate having a chance to see your school in Dillingham. And
thank you.
Thanks so much for being here.
Appreciate your time.
Any public testimony at this time? None, so we'll close public testimony. Any discussion among the members as to these two candidates? Senator Dunleavy?
I move to report the Senate Education Committee has reviewed Maureen Van Wagner and David Piazza for appointment to the Alaska Professional Teaching Practices Commission and that the named appointees be forwarded to a joint session of the legislature for consideration.
Thank you. Is there any objection? That will be done. And just for the record, forwarding the names of these individuals does not reflect any intent on any of the senators present to vote for or against the confirmation of the named individuals during a joint legislative session. And thank you very much, Maureen and Dave. I appreciate your being here. We'll take a brief at ease. Senate Education Committee, come back to order, please. We now have before us Senate Bill 208, version N. You should have it before you. We have with us David Scott from Senator Olson's office. David, if you'd introduce yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm David Scott, staff to Senator Olson. Senator Olson's going to try to make it down here. He's a little tied up on the fifth floor right now. And before the committee is a it's like there's a draft.
Did we get him in restraints? Is that what we did? Did we achieve that? No, maybe not.
He sends his warm regards, Mr. Chairman. The version before the committee is N. I believe it's a new CS. I could explain it really quickly.
Yeah, David, would you explain the changes?
The changes can be found on the last page, page 7, starting on line 1 and 2. And at the very end of the first line, it says, are less than or equal to the 20% participating share. We did that to make it clear that the intent of the bill is to catch those districts whose participating share is 20% or less.
Thank you, Dave. Though I know it was not that long ago, could you sort of review what this bill accomplishes and why we should move it out?
Yes, sir. Should the CS be adopted first? Or
yes. Yes. Could we do that, Senator Dunleavy?
Sure. I move CS for Senate Bill 208. It's 28-LS1527 /N.
And with an individual recommendations and attach. Well, just okay, I'm sorry. Just CS. That's at this point. We just need the CS. Okay. Thank you so much, Senator Dunleavy. So we have N before us. Going back to you, David, what does this do?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill is designed to encourage small and rural districts to address facility improvements via issuing debt rather than waiting for the state school construction grant program. And for the committee's knowledge, there's two mechanisms where the state provides for capital projects for education facilities. The first one is, well, one is the bond debt reimbursement program, and the second is the school construction and major maintenance grant program. The bond program typically is a 70-30 split between the municipality would pay 30% and the state would pay 70. There is a condition where the split would be 60-40, where the state would pay 60 and the district would pay 40. That comes, there's space requirements that the state would like to see in their schools, and if the district doesn't adhere to those space requirements, then they would go to a 60-40 split. This bill here, what this bill does is it takes a data point or point of reference from the school construction and major maintenance program, and that is the 20% or lower, and I could explain how we get to the 20% in a minute. But it takes that data point and uses it in the bond debt reimbursement program. It says that if you're eligible, the bill says that if you're eligible for the 20% participating share in the school construction major maintenance grant program, then in the debt reimbursement program, your share would only be 20% and the state's would be 80. So the bill does an 80-20 split to those 80-20 split debt reimbursement to those school districts that are 20% or lower in the school construction and major maintenance grant program. There's precedent for this. If you look on page, starting on page 5, which is line 30, which is section 15 of the underlying section of law, which is 1411-100. There is we use the 10% participating share requirement would allow schools for a 90-10 split, basically. So this has been done before. I looked during some research that was done in 2005. That section of law was put in 2005. And Mr. Chairman, you know, what we're trying to do is some schools have waited on the grant on the grant list for quite a while, and we're trying to we understand that not every school district that is below the 20% participating share, we know that not every single district has the economic ability to bond, but some will, and we think that it relieves some pressure on those the school districts that can't bond by allowing those school districts that have somewhat of ability to bond and being reimbursed at a little bit higher rate than the 70-30, which the big school districts are. I think I've explained it pretty well. I can try to answer any other questions.
Sure. Thank you, David. Any questions, sir, David Scott? Great. Thank you very much, David. The department have any comments? Ms. Littleman?
Good morning. For the record, Elizabeth Noodleman, Director of School Finance. And I understand the short correction that is made in this version, and the department spoke to this previously, and we're really just here for questions today, if you'd like.
Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. Any questions of Ms. Noodleman? Senator Stedman.
Yeah. Yes, I'd like, Ms. Noodleman, does the department support this concept, and what's the, and does the department have any opinions or concerns dealing with the major maintenance list?
The department, through the chair, we're not really party to what's before you today to deliberate it. We absolutely support the bond program for the school districts and the major maintenance list and the school construction list, and you know, we'll continue moving all three of those programs forward in accordance with statute and helping our schools.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. Any further questions, Elizabeth? Thank you, Ms. Littleman. Yeah. Senator Olson, glad to have you with us. Any comments you care to make at this point?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity to go ahead and present this bill. It's certainly one of those bills that people are watching, people statewide are watching, and that we as...
You need to state your name for the record.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
We know who you are, just those in radio land may not.
Sure. I am Senator Donald Olson from District T and serves the North Slope, Western Alaska.
Thank you, Senator Olson.
Again, I want to thank you for hearing this bill. Obviously, it's a very important bill. People are watching it from all over the state. It's going to affect a lot of people. And if we do indeed do look to each other as statewide senators as opposed to those just in the district, in the interest of the district, this is one of those bills that affects everybody statewide one way or another. And so with that, I thank you for hearing the bill, and we'll look forward to your action on it.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Any questions?
I mean, number one, I'd like to thank Senator Olson for bringing this forward, because I think it's a good concept. But before, we had talked a little bit about there must be some – could you just describe the schools that immediately are affected? Because I think there are some immediate objectives.
Mr. Chairman, if I could have my Chief of Staff, David Scott, come on up, and he's got the list of those that are immediately affected.
Thank you, Senator Olson. David Scott.
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, there should be a list. You should have a list in your packet on here. It's every school that is 20% or below on here. I could go through, I could name, so it would be Craig City, Denali Borough, Dillingham, Galena, Heidelberg, Cake, Kowak, Lake and Penn, Nanana, Northwest Arctic, St. Mary's, and Tanana. Now, there are other schools that, districts that fall under those. Those are REAAs, though. REAs are not eligible for the debt reimbursement program.
Right.
There is, if you are, in regards to the specifics of the bill, if you look at Section 2 is what I believe you're getting at, Senator Huggins, the immediate effect of what the bill would have.
Just tell me.
So it's the last page, I'm sorry. Page 7.
Section 2 is on page 7, starts on 6, line 5.
And would you state that?
Again, this is David Scott for the record. Section 2 is an uncodified law. It's retroactive. And the school that it would affect is Lake and Penn. For the committee's knowledge and awareness, I guess, is Lake and Penn superintendent is online, and he can answer any questions about that section if you'd like.
Yeah. Mr. Massey with us. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Thank you very much.
Any further questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Thank you, Mr. Scott. We've heard from the Department of Education. We also have Mr. Ty Massey from King Salmon Lake and Penn School District. Mr. Massey, are you with us? Ty Massey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you. Would you identify yourself for the record, though I see you haven't asked to testify, but if you'd go ahead and identify yourself, Mr. Massey.
Sure. For the record, my name is Ty Mace, and I'm the superintendent of Lakeland Peninsula School District.
Thank you, Mr. Mace. I apologize for mispronouncing your name. So can you reflect on how Lakeland Penn would be affected by this?
Well, for Lakeland Penn, we've had Port Allsworth, a school expansion project on the CIP list for the better part of a decade. It's been as high as number five, but as you know, that list has been funded less and less over the years, and our project has had no hope of funding, you know, any time in the future as we kind of looked at some of the other projects. We're projecting over 70 students next year in Port Allsworth, and with four classrooms, we're getting to a point where our kids are actually starting to, we're renting classroom space in the community. Things are very inadequate and very unsafe in Port Allsworth, so we had to take matters into our own hands. Our borough stepped in and passed a bond for the project. We're a very small borough, and we're always looking for ways to leverage our money. And this is one of those bills that would, you know, help us in many ways. The bill simply provides equity for us, Lake and Penn, and those willing to bond and pull out of the CIP grant process. The 80-20 match for us, it seems justifiable and very much more attractive than 70-30.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mace. Any questions of Ty Mace? Thank you for being with us, and we'll come back to the committee. Any questions or any comments anyone care to make? Yes, Senator Gardner.
Thank you. I just want to make sure I understand this. So maybe this is for the sponsor's office, whatever, that absent this bill, many small communities that are not REAs have to wait until they get a grant. And what this allows them to do is bond and get things done faster, and we're reducing the local cost of the bond by the state picking up an additional 10% or more. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, not every school district that falls below the 20% threshold and that is not an RA would have the ability to go to a bond bank and bond. Some will, and we're hoping that we could catch those some to get them off of the grant list to relieve pressure and allow those districts that cannot bond the ability to move up the list on the grant.
So if I might rephrase my question, for those districts that have the ability to bond, currently their choices are to wait until they get a grant or to pick up some of it themselves by bonding and thus move forward quicker. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Gardner, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Gardner. Further questions? Do we have, thank you very much, David. Do we have any further public testimony at this time? We'll close the public hearing then. Come back to the committee. Any discussion, further discussion here at our committee? The will of the committee, Senator Dunleavy.
I move CS for SB 208 version N from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Thank you. Is there any objection?
I just want to object just so I can say something. It reminds me of the little red hen. Who will help me build the school? Well, then I'll do it myself, but only to a certain extent. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that's a good point. And so you remove your objection?
I remove my objection, yeah.
Thank you. Without any objection, we'll take a brief at ease. Education Committee come back to order, please. Any further business coming forth at this time? If not, we are adjourned.